Welcome to another episode of Rodis Live. Let's get it. They call him punt, the wild foul guy. They call him Rock the Rodis. Rock. They call him the wild foul guy. They call him Rock the Rodis. Rock. They call him the wild foul guy. They call him Welcome to Rodis Live. I'm your host, Rodis. Today I have a very special guest, producer, MC, chess master, and friend, Uncle Ren. Please introduce yourself to the listeners of Rodis Live and tell them a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, peace, family. First of all, man, appreciate you, Rodis, for having me on. You know, me and Rodis, we met back in college, man. I've been here at Washington College back in the day. And I just recognize this brother off top to be a real genuine brother. And, you know, I also recognize this brother just to be about his business, man. Like, I remember, like, we exchanged CDs. I had, like, a janky-looking CD. Rodis had, like, top quality. You know, I was like, damn. I went home and told the queen, like, hey, bro got some money behind his CD. Like, you know, and it just was like, it was inspirational even then, you know, for me, just, you know, seeing the level that, you know, the level and the intent brother put behind his work. But, you know, but that aside, I'm born and raised in Chicago. I'm from the West Side, Austin area, you know, raised on Menard and Madison, you know,
okay,
yeah, you know, used to hang out on Cicero, Washington or whatever, you know, that's my origin. I've been back and forth from Chicago to Charlotte for some years because my pops, he's from Charlotte, North Carolina. You know, so, you know, I got kicked out of high school, had to move to Charlotte for a few years, came back, you know. But as far as hip hop goes, you know, wrote my first rap when I was 8 years old, you know. And I've been into it ever since. Yeah, I wrote my first rap when I was 8 years old. I'm 48 now, so do the math. That's how long I've been into this hip hop.
That's what's popping. I first heard your work when you was with this very talented, articulate, lyrical group called The Ranks.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, so The Ranks, just to give you a little background on The Ranks, you know, we met in the mosque, you know, because I didn't really state that I'm a member of the Nation of Islam. I'm not active right now. I won't pretend to be, but I am a registered member of the Nation of Islam, which when I first met you, Rodis, I actually was real active. That probably was the most active that I was.
Yeah, so you was active, but you know what? You was down to earth.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I came to school every day, suit and bow tie. Yeah, brother, I tell you, you know, I was real, you know, very, very vigilant. But like you said, I always been the same brother, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I come from a street background, you know, and the mosque helped me to walk a straight path, because, you know, I was into a lot of foolishness that I shouldn't have been into, you know, growing up or whatever, and the mosque helped me pretty much, you know, walk straight or whatever. But the Ranks, the brothers in The Ranks, we met, you know, we were all young brothers in the mosque, because I was, you know, I came to the mosque when I was like 21. All these brothers were all around the same age, and you know, we had a mutual love for hip hop, you know, particularly we were all big Wu-Tang fans and stuff.
Okay.
And so we wanted to form like a group, you know, similar to how, you know, Wu had a group or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And we all got serious about it. We put out a project called The Opening, which was a really dope project, but it was a mixtape. And we eventually put out other projects. One of the projects you could actually get on, you can get on any of the platforms, but it was called Blood Off Our Heads. And yeah, we were real cohesive. You know, my brother Tim Six used to do the beats for us. And, you know, we had some really good, you know, some really strong material back then.
Man, when I got the CD from you, I was like, man, this thing blazing. It's hot. It's hot like toast popping up out of the oven. So, is it safe to say that the Wu-Tang Clan is one of your musical influences?
Yeah, so, Wu-Tang Clan, the RZA in particular, yeah, it's definitely one of my musical influences because, and I first heard them when I was in Charlotte, North Carolina. You know, Charlotte, North Carolina is the South, but it's pretty much East Coast because, you know, half of the people there from New York, but well, here rather, because I'm living here now, but half of the people here from New York or whatever. So, I got family from New York, you know, a lot of them. So I first heard of the Wu back in 92, 90, mm-hmm. pardon me, 93 when I visited my family in New York.
Right.
You know, that, you know, my father's side of the family, you know, they're from North Carolina. But if you know anything about black migratory patterns, most of the people from North Carolina got family in New York, right? Just like most mm-hmm. people in Chicago got family in Mississippi, Memphis, right. Tennessee, like that. So my father's side of family all here in Charlotte, North Carolina. But a lot of them migrated north to New York. And so when I would go see my family that's in New York, you know, me and my cousin, we snuck out and went to this club. We went to go see Wu-Tang Clan. That was my first time hearing them. Yeah. So, and this was back like when they first came out, like, but I was hooked in since then. And like when I came back to Chicago, you know, I went to a bunch of stuff, got locked up, all that. Got out, came back home to Chicago. And some of the brothers, a lot of the brothers out west was listening to them, you know, because a lot of people that was under the five was listening to Wu-Tang. I guess it's because of their content.
And a singular lifestyle.
Yeah.
Like you can't tell me that if Ghostface was here, they'd be under the fan. Hell
yeah. Oh yeah, definitely. Yeah, definitely.
You know, you could just tell dirty, you know, mess.
Because a lot of what they were spitting, you know, you could find some of it in our lit, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So a lot of the brothers, like the Moles and the Town, was drawn off Wu heavy. Mm-hmm. You know, I was, you know, Mafia and Saint Vice Lord or whatever, Vice Lords from, you know, from out west. You know, a lot of us was listening to them. And so that just, then it resonated with me a little bit more, you know, from there. But I just was like really enthralled by the RZA's way that he made his beats and stuff like that. So, you know, how he managed to keep it gritty and stuff, you know, even though I was a huge Drake fan, that's another influencer, man. You know, just you know.
Yeah.
I was a huge Drake fan. Hold on 1 second, somebody's trying to call me. Let me send that to voicemail. Pardon me, I'm sorry about that.
No problem.
But Yeah, but I was a huge Dr. Dre fan. You know, prior to Wu-Tang, I was a big NWA fan. Mm-hmm. And so Dre was somebody who also influenced me. You know, Dre, DJ Premier, Jay Dilla, RZA, all these guys are influences of mine. RZA probably more so because, like I said, I was heavier into that at the time. And because I related to these guys because, you know, it's 9 MCs.
Man,
every single one of them is remind me of somebody I know.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Like, it's this brother from up north named Ugly Eye. He remind me of Old Dirty.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Like it was a cat out west. You know what I'm saying? One of the CIs. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Dion. He reminded me of Old Dirty as well. So yeah, it was like a counterpart in the neighborhood of that reminded me of each one of these cats.
Right. And like on a Shark Nigga skit with Ghost and Ray, when Ghostface was saying what he was saying about what's poppin'? I'm Radis, host of the Radis Live podcast. Did you know this podcast has a supporters club? By becoming a supporter of the show, you could gain access to exclusive content and play an active role in helping me to continue producing the content you love. See the link in the episode description for more details. Now let's get back to the episode. Biggie by Nas album, and he sound like a Chicago dude.
Niggas get off of Nas. Yeah.
I don't want nobody front for me.
Yeah, it's just one
front for me.
one of the moles in the town, you know, named, you know, we used to call him Goggles Lonzo, rest in peace, because, you know, he passed away a few years ago. Right. He used to remind me of Ghostface, and he had that same, I guess, mannerism about himself.
Right.
And so like I said, it was a counterpart for every one of them individuals, so it was easy for us to relate to, you know.
Right, exactly. So, like, my first introduction to hip-hop was, like, Run DMC, Crush Groove, all of that. But I was heavy into, you know, Ice Cube and Dr. Dre them initially. But like you said, you lived in Charlotte back and forth. But when I was in the Marines, I lived in Jacksonville, North Carolina. And that's how I got introduced to, like, the Wu, Nas, Mobb Deep. Matter of fact, one of the guys in my platoon, but Motor T, he was from Queens.
Right.
But you could tell that, you know, he used to be kind of fronting and stuff like that. But I wasn't tripping on that. But he used to go home every weekend, and everybody who went home with him always got robbed, but nothing happened to him, you know?
He was setting people up.
He was like, man, hon, you want to go home with me? I was like, no. I'm good, you know, but...
He was backdooring cats.
Exactly, but I did actually go with some of my other people, you know what I'm saying? So, artist and producer, now, you've done something that I've been contemplating. You know, I dabble with the production, but let's talk about Shelf Life.
Yes, sir.
Shelf Life. First of all, it's an amazing project from 1 to 15. You did all the production, right?
Yes, sir.
I like the minimal features that you have on the album. Nothing is unnecessary. Everything, they say, ain't nothing perfect. Ain't nobody perfect. The album is perfect. It's
stellar. Praise be to Allah.
And you did it all by yourself.
Praise be to Allah.
Now, yes, sir. What a lot of people don't understand as a creative, like, my pen is better than my production, but I work on my production every day, right?
Yes, sir.
But if I have a thought, I can get the production out how I have it in my head. It's crazy, you know?
Yes, sir.
So, what made you say, hey, look, I'm gonna write this thing, I'm gonna produce this thing? I see some of the catalysts behind you.
Ow, yes, sir.
I see some of the catalysts behind you. So did you say, hey, I didn't invest in this for nothing?
So, you know, what's crazy was, like I told you, just to go back into my background a little bit, you know, like, you know, I was hustling out, you know, back in the day, you know, I was hustling, I was gangbanging.
Mm-hmm.
Trying not to gangbang so much, you know, I was, like I said in that one song, I wasn't really a gangbanger, I was just a gang member. But, you know, being a member, the gang is going to find you eventually.
Exactly.
But during that time when I would be hustling, I was always rapping. I told you I've been rapping since I was 8 years old.
That's the pastime. Yeah. That's the pastime on the block, rapping.
Yeah, yeah. You know, it's so light. But whenever I would try to get cats, you know, to invest with me to get some equipment and all that type of stuff, yeah, nobody wanted to take that step. But they all would be like, oh, you cold. You could sit.
Right.
But I would tell them, man, let's put our money together, man. Let's get this MPC 3000 or that, you know. But they wouldn't want to do it. So I would go to studios and stuff like that. And whenever I would go to studios, I never would be pleased with the production.
Right.
Not, I would like the beat and everything, but the overall production, I would never be pleased with. They can never get my voice, because you hear my voice is distinct, right? I have a really distinct voice.
Yeah.
It's not a real easy voice to mix and you get what I'm saying and get right.
Right.
So they were unable to really, when I would go back home and listen to what they would produce, my voice never sounded like I wanted it to sound.
Right.
If that makes sense. And so
I understand.
Yeah, yeah.
Nobody likes to hear themselves initially.
Right. But there was this one white, it was a white guy named we from Chicago named Joe Blow, and we did the Ranks albums.
Okay.
And he was the only one to ever get my voice to sound how I wanted it to sound, to get where I could get in the right pocket and it sounded, man, I was like, man, like I did a song called Cream 2000, 2010 or something like that.
Right.
And we did another song called Off With His Head or whatever. And he actually did the engineering, you know, for me. And he was able to get it how I wanted it. And I just took a lot of pointers from him. And so I decided, since nobody else could get it right, I'm going to get it right.
Exactly.
Yeah, that was really the catalyst behind me really doing my own production. So later on when I started really, I was like, you know, forget dudes, people don't want to invest. I'm going to just do it myself. You know, I started buying equipment, you know, learning how to make beats. I started with an MPC 2000 XL.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when I was making beats, but I was horrible at it.
Right.
You know, I eventually got good at it, got a lot better at it. And like I said, but life happens, you know, I had kids and, you know, went to school, you know, and so I put it on the back burner for a while.
Right.
And, you know, and to focus on life, focus on making sure my kids, you know, finish high school and,
nourishing the seeds.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. So now all my kids are grown and married and on their own path, you know, so that's
what I
decided, you know, to get back to it. Because one thing just to touch on something and not to just really jump off a topic, but I feel this need to be said.
That's cool.
There's like a stigma of black men, and I consider it an attack on black men, but you notice how in every genre, age doesn't matter.
Right.
But
it's only ageism in hip hop.
But in hip hop, we got that ageism stigma. And I just wanted to say, to me, it's BS, is because it seemed like, you know, hip hop is, that's ours, is, you know, black men, you know, and right. And it's like, why our genre gotta be the one that's attacked with ageism? That I have an issue with that.
And exactly.
So it was a debate for me for a second, like, you know, should I ask a black man that's nearly 50, you know, get back to this rap? But then I started seeing Killer Mike win Grammys and started seeing, you know, Nas come back and put all these dope ass albums out and, you know, all these Wu members come in and you have, you know, Smith and Wesson and all these guys making these dope ass albums. And it sounded better than the other stuff that's out. So I said, you know what?
Mm-hmm.
Fuck the ageism. Pardon my French, but.
Hey, I get it. I understand and I agree.
Yeah. And then, you know, like I said, you was always doing music that whole time. And I was vibing off what you was doing. I say, man, I'ma just do what I gotta do, man. And it's hard. It is an uphill climb because people not so quickly give you a chance.
Right. And people be holding valuable information.
Yeah.
You know. And it's no need for that.
Right. And that's what caused me to get into this this current shelf life, and just to get into shelf life a little bit, and you know, a lot of people ask me what the concept is, like what I mean by shelf life, why that title,
right?
I'm just talking about, like, you know, how you go to the store, you got perishable items,
yeah,
perishable items have a shelf life.
Exactly.
And so I use that kind of as like a metaphor for, you know, a lot of our activities and, you know, in the street, you know, like I touch on street life, I touch on our sisters and, you know, how they carry themselves, you know,
mm-hmm.
shelf life to all that behavior, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's all that counterproductive behavior. It can land you in prison, you know, it can land you in the grave, you know, or it can land you in college like it did me, depending on if you're going to learn from, you know, your mistakes or whatever. You know what I mean?
Exactly. It's a lesson. Life is a lesson.
Exactly.
You got to appreciate the journey of life.
Right. But a certain activity, you can't do that forever. You know what I mean?
No, you can't. It has a shelf life.
Yeah, exactly. And that was the whole logic of that concept for the album.
Now, I seen one thing on your shelf on the artwork that I disagree with.
What's
the
see?
The record player has no shelf life.
Right. No. Yeah. But it all depends though.
I like how you had everything up there, and I was like, I get it. I get where he coming from, you know?
Right,
but
right.
I wanted to ask because I didn't want to assume anything. So did you make a variety of beats and pick, or you made a beat and say, hey, I'm writing to this, it's Stan.
I write a variety of beats, you know, because there's a lot of beats I make you'll never hear.
Hey, I understand.
Yeah.
I understand.
Yeah, because I probably make beats every day, right? And a lot of that, I ain't gonna front, a lot of that shit be whack.
Right, but you know what? What you created and presented for the world is stellar.
Appreciate that.
It's stellar, you know? Yeah.
And I did about 30 songs. Well, I got way more songs than that, but, you know, towards this project, I've been working on this. It's been a work in progress for 3 years.
You know? Man, it's good. You ain't make water, you made wine.
I appreciate that. Yeah, and so I made about 30 songs, and I picked, you know, the best. I picked the best ones until it felt complete to me, you know what I mean? And like, just to track back another influence, a man is Nas, right? And, you know, like when Illmatic first dropped, you know, I was down here in Charlotte, and I was heavy in the streets. And I went about 15, 16 at the time, you know what I mean? And I was moving way too fast at the time. Like, I probably was going to get killed or something if I would have kept, you know what, I probably can't say that, right?
No, you can say that.
Okay, yeah, I probably was going to get killed or something. I would have kept it up, man.
Right.
Like 1 to 0 actually saved my life, probably. But,
gotta sit you down at the right
time. Yeah, exactly, yeah. But that Nas Illmatic, man. When that came out, bro, that resonated so much. Man, I listened to that. I used to listen to that album over and over and over and over and over again, right?
Me too.
But I remember watching an interview when Nas talked about, you know, when he created Illmatic, because it was only 9 songs, bro. It's only 9 songs on that. A lot of us don't realize it, bro. It's only 9 songs on the album, right? And people ask, like, why was it so short? He said, it felt complete to me.
And it was complete, because
yeah.
he was hitting on a lot of stuff that I could really resonate with, you know?
Yeah. Everything in that album, bro, you know, resonated with me heavy, because I was, you know, living that lifestyle he was rapping about, and he had such a poetic approach to everything, and it just, yeah, man. Like, even to this day, I still, you know, that's still like a go-to heavy.
Yeah, man. Yeah, it's definitely inspiration.
Yeah, yeah. But with this album, that's how I wanted to do it. I wanted to, you know, to come from a real organic place. And I wanted to feel complete to me. I didn't want to do, like, that's why it's no skits on the album, you know what I mean? Like,
right.
I thought about skits, but I was like, nah, let's just do this. You know, let's just, you know, you had a music, and I just wanted each, even like the way that it's arranged, you know, I wanted each song to, you know, to kind of hit at the right point. If that
makes sense. It's sequenced perfectly. Hey, if y'all listening to this podcast, y'all go ahead and download Shelf Life on all streaming platforms by Uncle Reem. Produced by Uncle Reem. He got joints on there. And I ain't just hyping it up. Y'all know how I do.
Yeah.
You know, what's some of your favorite songs on the album?
So my favorite song on the album is Pandemonium.
Okay, I like that one.
Yeah, because, like, you know, it's that the gritty hip hop, it's that boom bap, you know, 90s era hip hop, the golden era hip hop that I'm into, mm-hmm. and it pretty much presents like the debate that a lot of us artists in our age range go through in terms of, like, how should we, you know, what should we do, how should we approach, you know, the bars or whatever, you know, mm-hmm. Should I preach, or should I talk street stuff, or, you know, what should I do? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And how should I approach this? And it just presents that question.
Right. You
know? And so that's my favorite because, again, like, the you know, the production on it is you know, it has a feel of like what I come up listening to in the lyrics. Mm-hmm. It's just, you know, just being real and coming to the realization that, you know, I'm not going to follow nothing. I'm going to just say what's on my mind, essentially.
And that's what works because it's a complete body of work, you know?
Yeah, so Shelf Life is my favorite song on the album. And maybe a close second is maybe Soldier.
Man, I got so many.
Yeah, yes. BBL, you know, that's from a production vantage point. I mean, I think musically that's a complete song, I believe.
You got a lot of good ones.
And I put there's no samples on that song. You know, these keyboards, you know, just played it on the keyboard and, you know, the strings, all that type of stuff. And, you know, that one is maybe one of the favorites. And then, and lastly, one of the favorites is Mac and the Soul Brother, pardon me. I jacked that title from Pete Rock and CL Smooth. Shout out Pete Rock and CL.
It's all good. I see where you went with it and where you was going. It's perfect how you presented it.
Yeah, so the reason why I named it Mecca and the Soul Brother, because the sister that's rapping with me, it checked for her. Her sister's name is Heck of a Mecca. Mm-hmm. You know, H-E-C-A-V-A, Mecca. So she's a sister in the mosque, you know, in the Nation of Islam out of Akron, Ohio.
And she really bodied it. She's
really dope MC. And she's a really good singer because she actually provides the vocals on my song Shiro as well. You know,
that's one of my favorites too.
Appreciate that. But the reason why these songs were some of my favorites is because I had never like did production with live instrumentation before. And so like my Mecca and the Soul Brother, you know, I have a guitarist by the name of Gavin Dahl.
Okay.
A local from here in Charlotte. Mm-hmm. Gavin Dahl, D-A-H-L. You could also check out some of his music. He's a good musician, period. Mm-hmm. You know, he plays every type of guitar, but I had him to provide a lead guitar for the chorus.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I was able to have an experience, you know, working with somebody with the lead guitar in that song and also working with one of my favorite MCs, you know, in the Nation of Islam, Sister Mecca. You know, she really should be a lot bigger, man. Like, check her music out, man. You won't be disappointed.
I'm going to check it out because when she came on there, I was like, whoa,
fire. But that's why I call her Mecca and the Soul Brother, because I like to consider myself soulful. I'm not the Soul Brother, that's Pete Rock, but I just thought that I felt that, you know, to give a little homage to the Pete Rock and CL Smooth simultaneously as a title to the song, I thought was a pretty, you know, pretty decent thing. And then Gavin Dahl also, he played the bass guitar for my song Shiro. And like the bass line on there, yeah, it was a bass guitar. And so, yeah, but that's why, but like Mecca and the Soul Brother, that's why it's one of my favorites, because lyrically, you know, Mecca called me one, she didn't call me, pardon me. She posted. She said she needed like a beat. That, you know, that was kind of sound like, she was like, you needed a woo flavored beat, right?
Right.
And so I had that beat, you know, and I was originally going to make a song called Gem Stars. You know what I mean? You know, like Gems, right. You know, Gem Stars.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I was originally going to make a song called Gem Stars with that beat. But then I was like, you know what? I sent it to her, let her check it out. Bro, she sent me back that verse. I was like, oh, this is dope. And so we decided to just go on here and do a song with it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what it was.
Man, hey, when it came on, I was like, eee, that's tight. This is tight right here, you know. But like I said, the whole album is really sequenced well. And like what you were saying about the live instrumentation, like on my first album, the engineer where I was recording, he was like, man, this would really be a bang if you had some live bass on here. I was like, man, where am I find a bass guitarist at?
That's the album where you had that one joint, North Side of Chicago.
No, it's actually the one before that, like my first album.
Okay. I didn't hear that one, but
I'll hook you up with it.
Okay.
You know, it's on all the platforms, but I don't got no more copies left.
Right.
So he came out and started playing a bass guitar.
Oh, man.
And I was like, wow. And people, they love that song. But he got that ear, you know?
Yeah. You know who your flow kind of remind me of, Ronis?
Who?
Capadonna.
Oh, wow. Hey, I appreciate that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like, yeah, your flow kind of remind me of Capadonna, though.
I like Cap.
Oh, you like Cap?
Yeah, I like Cap.
Not like in a biting way.
I know.
You get what I'm saying? But like in a biting way, but yeah. But
that's what's up.
And that album, your new album, bro, that shit hard, bro.
Man, thank cover you. I appreciate it.
Cover to cover, man. That production is so dope. I don't know who does your production, whoever does it, man. They did an excellent job. That, you know what that album remind me of, man? It remind me of like, remember Common's album, Like Water for Chocolate? Like,
yeah.
Production class, that remind me of like
the Soul Aquarian.
Remind me of Soul Aquarian type production. Yeah.
I was like, man, I appreciate that.
Yeah, it's like the way they do their drums, bro. The drums on that album, yeah, that kind of remind me of almost like Dilla's drums, almost.
Yeah.
I don't know if that was intentional. Well, not or Questlove or Dilla drums. I don't know if that was intentional, but
I just pick what sound nice. So yeah. let me shout out those producers, because you know one of them DM'd me, man, talking real crazy, man. It's not right. So shout out to Skagnetti, Ben Malik, Chips, Swiss Boy, Bootleg the Producer, and the Cypher Beats.
Yeah, and the MCs you had on there, which is, also features.
Hey, thank you, Cormega, Black Sun, Cadiz, Nelson, and BC. Yeah.
I can get Mega, man.
Man, I actually met him. I met him when he came out with the Born and Raised album, but we stayed in contact on the internet, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
And that's how I met him. But when I came out with my third album, Focus of Four, I had this video called Sunflower Seeds, and we follow each other on Twitter, and he was like, man, bro, I want to be on your album. So for that album that, you know, that we conversed over, he, you know, I sent him the beat and he ain't like it. So I wound up getting Nature on that album instead.
Yeah,
Nature. And then I told Mega, like, yo, we still gonna do one. He was like, cool. So whenever he comes to Chicago and have a show or whatever, you know, me and my man IE, we hold him down. You know what I'm saying?
Hey, you know what's crazy? You said you got Nature on that.
Yeah.
Instead of Mega. Hey, that's crazy, because didn't Nature end up on the Firm album?
Yeah, but.
Mega was supposed to be on the Firm album.
Yeah, but you know what? They cool.
Yeah.
You know.
It's just the irony. That's all I was just. Was
right. I know. Pointing. I know.
It's kind of ironic.
Yeah, but they cool. You know, right. I'm going to talk to you offline.
Tenfo. Yeah, no, I wouldn't, like I said, I wouldn't like.
No.
Yeah. It just hit me like, dang, that's kind of ironic.
See, I know why you asked that, because she was in North Carolina hearing all of the mixtapes. You was hearing the mixtapes, the back and forth, I already know.
Yeah.
Because that's where I was, that's how I got up on a lot of people from NY, like, rest in peace, Black Rob, DMX, you know?
X. Yeah, man. Dark Man X. But it was crazy about Mega, though, man. Look, man, Mega was dope, man. Like, I still remember that. When you bring your heater or your crib go between us.
Yeah.
And Mega was cold. Like, and then, like I said, I was looking forward to hearing him on the Firm album.
Man, me too. I was upset. But I did hear Nature on the Clue tapes, but you know, I would have preferred what they presented to us from It Was Written, you know?
Yeah, exactly, yeah. But they, you know, they and things come back full circle, and you know, it was on that one joint on Nas album with, you know, with Dre or whatever. That was cool.
Yeah, that was good. Yeah, that was.
I thought they was gonna do an album or something. They still make us not, you know, Nas and Master P. They, you know, they putting a lot of stuff out right now. So
man, they putting.
Who knows?
Slick Rick come out June 13th.
Man, I know it's gonna be dope too.
Yeah, so he about to put out Slick Rick, Mobb Deep, Raekwon, Ghostface.
Yeah.
Big L. Him and Premier coming out, and De La Soul. Like a lot of these legends, they've been coming out killing it. Redman, and like you said, Smith and Wesson. They got Ralph Tres, man, on their album, but that album is hard.
Like even this joint here, man. Like this joint here, this is a dope album.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, that. Oh, you checked it out?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's a dope album, man. I was like, damn, everybody, all these OGs, man, they putting on harder than the youngest. Not to be divisive or whatever, because I like a lot of what these youngsters is doing, man. You know,
me too.
Yeah, I love Herb Owen. You know. Yeah, I like a lot of these youngsters, man.
So I wanted to ask you this. So who's your favorite youngin? They could be alive or deceased, or just give me three, and I'll give you three.
Okay, let me see. So I look at it from a genre perspective.
Okay.
Let me see. I like Cole.
Yes.
North Carolina, stand the fuck up.
Damn,
you know what I'm saying? Cole. My favorite artist out of, my favorite, I guess, I don't want to say mainstream, but I guess you could say mainstream artist out of Chicago, out of the youngest, is G Herbo.
Okay.
Yeah, G Herbo. And I like, also I like, lyrically, I think it's probably Montana 300.
Man, people sleep on Montana, man.
Montana 300, man.
That's what's up. So
that dude got bars, man. I don't know why people slept on him so hard.
Yes, yes. But you know, one thing that I do like about Montana 300 is he moving doing him. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And that's how you gotta do it. Like I got the utmost respect for you having the heart to create something so good. But far as the youngins, I like Lil Durk.
Yeah.
I like King Von.
Yeah.
And trying to think of one more youngin.
I like Durk, Yo, and Von, you know?
Yeah.
And you know, rest in peace to Von and Duck, man. I wish Duck would have had been able to do more, because Duck was making some really good music, bro.
Yeah, he was making good music.
Bro, I just wish that it wasn't like that energy, you know what I mean? That I understand, because we used to gang bang, mm-hmm. But I just wish, you know, all that.
Yo, before we get back into this episode, let me put y'all up on game. If you are an artist, a producer, or even got a podcast like me, Bazoogle is where you need to be. It's the real deal. I built my whole site on there. Music, merch, episodes, even my email list. No coding, just drag, drop, and go. They give you everything you need to run your hustle online. And check this. You could get your first month free just for rocking with me. Tap the link in the show notes and build your brand a smart way. Bazoogle.
I know. It kind of falls on us, man. You know what I mean? Like
we failed the youngest in some capacity.
Like I said, I got this little movement that I want to start, you know, make lit mandatory again.
Man, woo! So, okay, like one joint on my album, that's what I'm talking
I
about.
heard.
Okay, you
Yeah.
heard
Yeah, I peeped it. I say, oh snap, we're on the
it?
same page. Yeah.
Hey, yeah, that it'll be a lot of order. But one thing that I've noticed, like, since they let all these people in the country, and everybody deserve a chance and everything, I ain't seen nobody hanging out. None of the youngins, they don't be hanging out. You don't see them in the mall, nothing, nowhere.
No, I mean they don't use devices.
Exactly.
Yeah, they don't go outside. You know what I mean?
They Grand Theft Auto kids grown up.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, I think that was bad design, but the game is cool. So my favorite joint is I like Shelf Life.
Appreciate that. Oh yeah, and just to give, since you mentioned it, Felt Like, just give a shout out to Slime Shrimp. Well, who's featured on that? It was crazy. Is this one? This a kid or one of the, you know, one of the cats from from a project. I just, you know, when I lived in Charlotte back then, you know, I lived in a housing project called Bountain Village Projects. You know, it has since got renovated and everything, and and it's nice now. But his pops was somebody, you know, I used to hang with, you know. So, you know,
Is
I
it
think.
any plans in the work for him coming out with an EP or a project
He
or
got
just
some stuff out, yeah. Slime Trip. He got a lot of music out, yeah. And in fact, he's putting out a new project now. Yeah,
Okay.
yeah. And he, like I said, he rapping the same.
Oh man, the best of both worlds. Look at Drake.
And I did some production with him on other joints. You know that it's not out yet, but you know, we're gonna hear real soon.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to get some of that Uncle Reem heat.
Oh yeah, I'm working on something. Like I said, you said you want something aggressive and something kind of like an anthem. Yeah, so yeah, I've been, you know, working and
That's what's
seeing.
popping.
I'm gonna send something your way, let you decide whether, you know, you're interested or not, you know, in it. Yeah.
I'm interested.
Right.
I'm interested.
Right.
So I like Shelf Life. I like Mecca and the Soul Brother. I like Soulja. I really like Shiro.
Okay.
I like New Faces.
New faces.
Really like New Faces.
Yes,
If you're
sir.
a new face, you can't come on a block.
Right.
Hey. And I like Libation.
That basin.
Yeah. And my DMs.
I see the hell up out of my DMs.
Yeah, I like that, man. It's really a lot of range on here, but you know, by me knowing you and having conversations with you, I wouldn't expect nothing less than what you put out, you know?
Praise you for life. Yes, sir.
Especially like the ranks, y'all's like the locks or something
I
to
appreciate
me,
that.
you know. And I really appreciate you jumping on that Spitters edition. Both of those mixtapes still on that pit right now. So, is there any plans on you doing an instrumental album, possibly?
Hey, that's a good idea, man. There wasn't no plans, but you might have just put it, you just put it on my man right now.
That's what's
Okay.
up.
Yeah. That might do that. You mean like an instrumental of the album that I put out already, or like just an all instrumental album?
You can actually, put out, Shelf Life, the instrumentals.
Yeah, that
And
makes sense.
then if you create something new, you can make instrumental EPs, albums, or whatever. I gave you the vinyl plug already.
Oh yeah, definitely. And that's coming soon. Like, yeah, I appreciate, man. You gave me a wealth of information, man. This brother right here, this is a real brother, you know, for everybody who listening. Yeah, this brother, man, he a good brother, man. He a real brother. He got in my inbox, man, and just willingly just gave me all kinds of information that's gonna help me, you know, just unabated, man. Like that's what a real brother does. That's what a real good brother does. Like, you know, because there's a lot of gatekeepers out here, brother. Not that brother. Brother want to see you win, and it, And I really appreciate that. And that was real, man. That was real, bro. Like, it,
right
yeah,
on,
we,
bro.
yeah, for real, man. That's real. And like I said, whatever you need, I'm, you know, for me and it's to my capacity, I'm on that. You know what I mean? Yeah,
say
like
less.
I said, everybody not like that. You know what I mean?
I already know.
Yeah, everybody not like
know.
That.
Hey, when I listened to Shelf Life, it took me back to places. Like, I was there in your album, you know? And like, even on Pandemonium, I was like, man, this is an ongoing thing every day. If you go to Instagram, they talking about stuff that don't matter. Like, for example, relationships. Like, you called me process, you know, getting on here. Do you know I had your number still in a phone from back in the day?
Wow. That's right. Wow.
It popped up. But the thing is, like, I'm going to give you a perfect example. Like, a lot of these relationship people, they don't never say that, you know, relationships are constantly work. Like, even with the music, it's work.
It's definitely work.
It's work.
That's a fourth time's distance.
Man. Preach, yeah. Church, tabernacle.
Tabernacle. And speaking of relationships, you know, Angelic was kind of addressed.
Oh, I forgot about that too.
Relationships, yeah.
Man, I'm gonna have to listen again for the fourth time. You know, I just got it, but you know, it's in a rotation. Y'all go ahead and get Shelf Life in y'all rotation. I'm gonna leave a link to the project in the show notes of this episode.
You know what though?
You're gonna stream it.
Right. You know what though? When you ask me who's my favorite artist of these younger artists, I forgot to mention Glorilla, bro.
Oh man, I like
Sister Cole, bro. Cole. I know a lot of people probably hate on her and all that, and not a lot of older people always, because of, you know, I guess her message, like they ain't used to listen to Lil' Kim and Sheena.
Oh man. Hey, when I heard Lil' Kim single, No Time for Fake Niggas. Like Lil' Kim hard like Tupac to me.
Yeah, but like I said, man, quit hating on her and Sexy Red and all them, because we was listening to Lil' Kim, we was listening to Trina, we was listening to all them chicks that was on that same type of time.
Mm-hmm.
We're hating on these youngest, man. Let them do their damn thing. Let them take the music where they take it, man. You know what
exactly.
I'm saying?
Yeah. And then you don't know what's in their contract. They probably got to
exactly.
do that.
Exactly. You know, and they're expressing their lifestyle, what they come up doing, same way. Like you ain't even tell me you was listening to Too Short and you got a problem with what Sexy Red is saying.
Exactly.
You get what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
Yeah, if you vibe to any of them Too Short albums, then leave Sexy Red the hell alone. Let her do what she's doing. Well, leave Glorilla the hell alone. Let her doing what she's doing. But Glorilla, that's Sister Cole.
Yes, she is.
Well, that Yeah Glow, that reminds me of some old Memphis, man. Like, that sounds like something I would have heard on 8 Ball MJC album.
See what I'm saying? And rest in peace, Young Dolph. I like Dolph.
Oh, yeah. Hell yeah. Come on now. Dolph. Oh, man. Dolph. Yeah, Dolph. Yeah, hell yeah, man. Rest in peace, Dolph.
Yeah.
Dolph, man. Dolph was, he was a real one. That was one of the ones there.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely.
So what's next for Uncle Ren?
Okay, so right now I'm just, you know, I'm just trying to, you know, get this music promoted and, you know, and trying to just do what I got to do to get as many ears listening to it as I can. That's in the near future, but I'm about to do a video for Shiro.
Ooh-wee.
Now, I have a video for Mama's Laws off that album. I did, you know, I put an EP out, you know, towards this.
I seen it.
And so there's a video for Mama's Laws on my YouTube. That's Uncle Green, Mama's Laws, and just, you know, you can find that video and, you know, just run, you know, try to run it up if y'all can. But I'm working on a video for Shiro. Cause just like you said, that's your favorite joint. That's most of the feedback I've been getting, everybody like She Rose, so that's the next video.
Yeah, that's good. But all of the album is good. But you know, people like what they like.
Oh so yeah, absolutely.
If you could leave anything with the listeners of Riders Live, Uncle Ren, what would it be?
Man, just knowledge itself is of utmost importance. You know, we just had Malcolm X's birthday 2 days ago, right? And you know, in the basis of his message was, you know, self knowledge, right? Knowledge itself. That's what we got to, you know, that's what we should focus on. You know, when I say knowledge itself, it could be individual self, but also knowledge of your people. You know, know where you come from so you can know where you're going. That's the whole, my whole philosophy, you know, that I strive to live by. And then, just check me out. Uncle Reem. I'm on Facebook, you know, Instagram at Uncle Reem, Big Unk on TikTok. You know, check me out. I've been doing this for a while, man. I love this hip hop. Just check it out, man. Let me know what you think about it. You know, pardon me. I'm kind of having difficulty, you know, finding the right words to say here.
It's all good.
I'm typically more articulate than I'm being right now.
It's all good. You just being yourself.
Man, check your brother out. Don't let my age be a stigma for you tapping into the music, because I try to provide something for everybody on that album. You know, if you like the 808 stuff, you know, my DMs is, you know, put, you know, have that style. You know, I try to be eclectic and to provide like a eclectic mixture of sounds, and satisfy, you know, the different areas of hip hop and what people like to listen to, you know.
Yes, sir. I think you achieved that. And those songs you mentioned, the BBL song too, it's good. Like, yeah. A lot of those songs, I don't know if you did it on purpose, but they gonna resonate with the younger audience as soon as they see the titles.
It was intentional. Yeah, that definitely was intentional.
There you go. So this has been another episode of Riders Live. Peace.
Thank you. Peace.